You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to our show today, Your Ultimate Life. This is a show dedicated to just one thing, and that's you creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. We live in troubling times, and it might seem like you just can't have that good stuff. That's a crock. It's not true. I have a fabulous guest I'm excited to have with me today, and she's going to give us lots of perspectives on how to do that. And she's a coach and a wonderful woman I've known for many years, and I like it. So welcome to the show, Dr. D.
Well, thank you, Kellen. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about this topic, as well as it's more than a topic, isn't it? It's a complex opportunity that we get to talk about for so many people out there. This is exciting.
You know, it is. And I want you to let's just start right there because, you know, it isn't a topic. It is a choice about what you believe about what's possible in your life. So I want you to start with there. Do you think, and I'm just for the guest show, none of this is ever prepared, right?
Right.
Do you believe that it's possible for people to live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy? And you can consider those words individually. Or is that just a bunch of noise that we hear to sell products and services to make people feel good? Like, what do you really believe about that?
The real belief, and this is what I researched, because I, you know, 20 years ago, I saw and heard the three words, prosperity, freedom, and joy. And it was very surface to me. So I did my own exploration through different degrees, through leading. And now I do it for my clients, with my clients, actually. It's a partnership with them. And it's very doable because it's all on how we have trained our mind, our spirit, and our heart to perceive the world. So that's the really cool thing. It's entirely up to us. And that's the really challenging thing. It's entirely up to us or those that help us to develop those skills. I see it kind of as a skill set. It just doesn't, you know, suddenly you're enlightened in that way, but it's a wonderful journey that anyone and everyone can take.
So it's a wonderful journey that anyone and everyone can take. I actually agree with that. So I'm not going to say anything except yes. Mm-hmm. Let's dig into the first word. You used freedom and some other words. And if you want to change any of my words as I use them, go ahead. But what do you do to help people with their lifelong, sometimes, layers of unbelief to help them realize they do have or they can declare a purpose, like a meaning for their life, like they're actually about something? So when you meet with people and they're all whatever and they're focused on money or this thing that is superficial, like you said, how do you help them dig into their own life, their own pile of mud to start to find purpose?
So when I work with my clients, I'm sure you find the same. I find that there's so many layers of misconceptions for them that once they get to the fact that they are worth it, they have their own, I call it a soul journey, a purpose. And that purpose is that evolution of their best self, their self, and all the assets they were given, because everybody has been given gifts and then they can develop things on top of that. So when they understand it, it's not just the person down the road, it's not the other person that has this purpose, it helps them to take a little more ownership. And we use one tool. Well, it's not really a tool. It's a theory, Colin Wilson's ladder of selves, to really show people about the different ladders of our consciousness. And if we're below four, we're staying at victim. And that victim has a certain comfort, but it's very, very far from them owning their purpose. So I do a lot of work of excavating that and getting them in touch with their higher, you know, the higher levels of self, freedom or spontaneity, all those things. And when they get that clarification, that tends to lead them to like this drive to stop comparing. All comparing just stops. And they look, what is it about me that I want to learn? What is it about me I want to bring forth? Contribution, legacy, meaning, and then in the present moment.
You know, you use the word a clarification. And I want to move this out of the academic kind of language. I use this picture of this fire and phoenix behind me on purpose.
Yes.
When a person realizes they are not a victim, what does that mean?
Well, they realize that it's really thoughts. They might have absorbed them. They might have chosen them, but it's just a pattern of thought. So not the academic, but that we can prove it with science, neuroscience, right? It's just a thought, a collection of thoughts, a collection. We call it the suit. I think you call it context. You collected these beliefs and thoughts, and if they're not working for you, they're not meant for you. It's that. That's kind of that, as easy as we talk about it. If it's not working for you and it's not empowering you for you, and it doesn't feel like it makes you feel like a better person, then it's more of a victim thought versus a thought of being a sense of purpose or passion.
So if I come to a situation with a victim mentality, and I realize this is a bunch of generalizations, and I realize there's layers and parts to this, but I just want to connect with people that are watching. If I come at something as a victim, what kind of language do I use about it? Something happens, and here I am, right? You know, you said below four. I don't know what those numbers are. I don't even care. So I'm down in the 1, 2, 3 space, right? Yeah. And I'm like up to my knees or maybe my eyeballs if I'm at one in victimness.
Yes.
What kind of language am I talking about? How do I express that victimness?
Oh, I love that question because that's kind of the telltale sign. So I remember when I was in victim mode, and this is what most people do. They use the word I versus you. I versus you. You did this. You are that. So there's a lot of, we call them distortive words. So they're always looking to point to something versus it's not about someone or the situation. It's simply a perception, right? So a lot of the words would be shoulds, could, always, a lot of apologies in their language. So you'll see, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that. And it's a hedger-based, we call them tagline-based language. So
if I'm showing up like that and I'm doing a lot of yous and a lot of should, could, would, and I'm apologizing, and I show up to for some reason, now there's a big leap here I'm going to make.
Yeah.
For some reason, I've realized that my approach to life isn't working for me. You said that a minute ago. Is it working for you?
Yeah.
And I've concluded that life isn't working for me. So I've come to you and I've said, look, my life isn't working. And I show up about a situation, maybe at work, maybe with a client, maybe with a partner, and I'm using a lot of this language. They shouldn't, they couldn't, that could have, it's outside, over there. What do you do right then in the middle of that conversation?
So in the middle, we literally stop that language because that language will distract them from what's deeper down, their sense of being. That language is just very, you know, term is egoic. It's just very distracting from them really feeling that sense of calm underneath. So that's my first thing is that, like, if I take away all that language and you just center yourself, what is it you truly sense about yourself? What is it truly you sense about your greatness? Because most people that I have encountered, and I'm sure you have too, they sense something different for themselves. It's there. It's just kind of buried. So we clear away the clutter. At times, it also means I give them a sheet of words they can't use and pull all their trigger words, I say. We can't use any of these trigger words because it distracts you from you finding your own sense of self.
So you take away all my trigger words and you ask me to express something, and I can't say all these words that I've been using.
Yeah.
Like ketchup on a hamburger, you know, all over the place.
Right.
And I can't use those. And you ask me how I feel or about myself or whatever. What happens that makes me create that clarity for a moment? And I realize there's different situations and layers.
Yeah.
But when you take away my trigger words, and yeah, I've come blaming the world for a given situation, it may even be a small thing. What happens then, or could happen, to create that awareness? And I the reason I said the academic piece isn't because academics aren't good, they're great, but there's such a visceral change often. And the words that we use, the descriptive words, sometimes don't capture the depth and fire of that visceral moment. So you took away my trigger words and you make me tell you something. What happens when suddenly I realize that I've invented this whole thing? Tell me a little bit about that moment.
I mean, those are the moments that you just notice. And this is what will happen for people. They suddenly feel this rush, kind of a they call it a washing over of truth. Like almost a sense of, oh my gosh, I kind of knew that. I feel that. And it's just a washing over of, wow, that's a sense of freedom. You know, now what do I do with that? I mean, there's always been what's now. It's a wonderful kind of a moment just to be with someone in that space, because then they're getting at their authentic, just all this other stuff. It really doesn't matter. It was made up. And so we get to start over in a different way, or from this point on.
So I want you to tell me, why do you think, like, you've done a lot of study, so you're Dr. D for a reason. You have, I don't know how many PhDs, but at least one, and you've written a bunch of stuff, and you do a lot of academic stuff.
Yeah.
And you're powerful in that space, and I know that. Why do we come to you, or to life, or to mediocrity when we haven't decided to get help and just settle for what's easy, with all these layers upon layers upon layers? Because you use the word excavate.
Yeah.
And you use the word wash. Like, you have to, when you said that, I had this picture of a fire hose washing away layers of something, and suddenly whatever it is, and there's revealed. Where does that come from? Because, I mean, it's so harmful. It is so.
Oh, yeah.
Negative, it's so much baggage. Why do we come and develop all this stuff that has to be excavated and washed away?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about the, like, okay, let's take academia, just school all the way to college, and even more so if you start doing graduate degrees like I did, there is a very set norm for people. And that norm is always testing, are you alone? Do you belong? Are you worth it? And it's just a set of predicaments, but people go through them. And they're not aware that they get to choose at their genesis, at their true self. They're always connected. They're always worth it, right? They always belong. But we're not... You know, when I talk with clients, no one told them that deep down, that's the real truth. And all these other places, it's the kind of the surface, you know, an A means this and a B means this, but it's more than that. It means an A means you're worth it. A B means you're kind of worth it. And an F means you certainly are not worth it. So there's a lot of constructs where people can interpret, and you could put the same two people in the same path for 4 to 6 years, and they interpret it differently. That's why it is all made up, right? But they still take on certain things, because we all at our deepest core want to stay connected with everyone. We want to sense connection. We want to belong. We want to know we're not alone. And so kind of just allow some of it to dump on. Even though it's not working, it's just what we know.
So I'm hearing you say that it's just crap in the atmosphere, and the atmosphere might be everything from our upbringing to our parents' dysfunctionality to crappy education we had to overzealous band leaders or others. I was just on a mastermind, or not a mastermind, a challenge of something, and it was a Hollywood actor that was on there, and he was talking about he was started as a child actor, and he talked about how brutal directors are, even to kids. He talked about his experience in as a 7 and 8 year old, and being told that he absolutely sucked and he should never be let in again. And you know, so we have a construct of all this, from education to, you know, the brutality of the business of that, you know, showbiz, that layers onto it. And so then here's my question. We know that's all there. Where is the other end? Where is the voice that says, hey, not true? Where is the place you can go take a bath every day, or you can put on your armor or something? Where is the counterbalance to all of the constructs that we know? Because, you know, you and I are talking about them, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Where's the other? It's like the station when you come off the beach, you know, and there's a shower station there, right? You come off a surfing beach and you can stand in the little public.
Oh, yeah, that's a great analogy. Yeah.
Okay. Where's that?
Well, what I want to make clear is that a lot of clients come to me and think it's from one place. It could be one religion. That's the way to go. Or it's a right way to get there. And the really cool thing, this shower, this peeling back those layers, everybody has it. You're born with it. And you get a sense as you grow up. So you could learn it. You could have a really cool mentor that tells you that. It could be a really cool teacher that opens that door. For some of us, some of the teachers did that and said, you know what? That's all. That is irrelevant. What's really true is you're good at this thing. So along your path, you would have had people, places, spiritual opportunities to glean that. At least every client I've met, they would can go back in time and say, I knew this. I knew this. It hit me when I was 7 or 8 and I knew it, but I didn't know what to do with it. So there's wonderful coaches, that's one of the things they do, right? They guide people on that uncovering. So that is what we love and we're, you know, passionate about. But there's wonderful authors that write about this. This has been around forever and ever. It's looking outside the box, because the box does not have the answers. The box is the place that people feel like it creates safety, and it really does not. It creates competition. So when you're still and you're mindful, it's asking, where do I go? Where do I look? What's next?
What happens when a person, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, finish up.
Nope, that's good.
I was going to say, what happens when a person either doesn't hear or doesn't have those spiritual wake-up calls for maybe years? Mm-hmm. What happens to a person when they become so used to the box and or the negative stuff that becomes truly how they think things work?
Well, I'd love to hear your experience. What I've found is they almost fight the other. For example, as a coach, I will let them know, if this makes you uncomfortable and you fight or flight it, it's probably a good thing to stay calm and listen around, because your damaged self, your coping self, wants to protect itself. So it is going to avoid a coach. It's going to avoid someone that's non-judgmental, and it's going to look for judgment. So it's kind of like they're attracted to a magnet of the sameness. So we call it in leadership coaching, they stay in the stands. And that's entirely a choice, right? You could stay in the stands, but you'll find that those people that choose that then also need to criticize other people, or they need to criticize themselves. all for the fear of not having to get on that court in front of everybody and say, hey, I have baggage and I'm uncovering it. So
that's a fabulous thing. And I love the phrase you brought up, your coping self, and you want to defend it. Mm-hmm. What I really heard is if you ignore for a long time, or you didn't find or have those signposts, mentors, ideas, books, permission, whatever combination it was to open that door, which I loved what you said, mm-hmm. you end up in a place where you're convinced that this warped view, and I won't even say warp, this very not, this limiting view, yeah. shall I say, because it creates a much less you than you could
it
be.
It does, yeah.
This limiting view is correct. And you said you resist it, you fight with it, and you want to protect your coping self. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't?
I don't know that phrase, but it sounds accurate. I'm terrible at cliche phrases. So, and my clients know that, so I don't pull them up. But it, yeah, wouldn't that make sense? We know it's painful. And yet, if we challenge that pain and we see other people, so if our environment is people complaining, this is so amazing, Kellen. Like even that example, if I start with new clients, let's say I do a group and I say, one of the things I want you to do is just not to complain in front of your team members. Cause I work with a lot of teams and just give it 3 weeks. No, you cannot complain. You can't jump in. That step alone, they feel separate. But if I don't complain, they'll think I'm too good for them. Or if I don't complain, they'll think this. And that's amazing. All we're asking them is take a deep breath, don't complain, and look at this other option. That challenge of doing something different is so uncomfortable for some people. They rather just continue on. And you'll ask them, so does that work for you when you complain? No, I feel terrible after. I feel icky. And then sometimes I feel like I draw a wedge between people. Or I know if I walk out of the room, someone's complaining about me. It's so uncomfortable, yet they know it. It's predictable to them.
That's fabulous. And you also said something else about they feel the need to complain or to, you know, judge or criticize others. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go completely in a different direction now.
Cool.
So stop that. I'll put a period there. That's fabulous stuff. Wonderful insights. And we may come right back there. We may put a comma there instead of a period. But right now, what I want to do is I want to go back and excavate some of Dr. D's journey. How did you get here? Like, did you didn't jump out of the womb and said, I'm an insightful PhD bound coach with a rock star idea about how to excavate horse crap that people have been buried all their life. That's who I'm going to be. So tell me about some of the doors that were and the confusion,
yeah.
and the doors that were opened for you, and how long it took you to walk through them and all that good stuff.
In brief, right? Because that could be a long journey.
We've got a while, so you know, tell me what you think helps me look at you and say, you know what, she gets it. I might be safe standing up and excavating something with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've been told at a very young age, I had discernment for people. So I had some events in my life. We had a tragedy of a fire in the middle of the night of our house, right? And in that moment, so none of my clients know this story, but in that moment, I wasn't aware of a fire. Somebody called my name and they said, get up. And I said to my sister, you get up. I'm not getting up. You're really tired in the middle of the night. And anyway, so when they said my full name, which no one uses my full name, I got up. And at that moment, I was aware it was not somebody in the room with that voice. And I remember walking down the stairs and it just, you know, tell your father the house is on fire. And then when I heard that, I'm like, oh my gosh, right? So the anyway, it that awareness, and I shared that with my father. I said, yep, the house is on fire. And we got, everyone got out at that last minute. And at that point, not, and not everybody has, but at that point, I knew there was something more. It just made sense. So if it's going to be something very severe, you're going to hear something. But starting to grow up, even with teachers, they would say certain things. And I would say, that just doesn't make sense. Now it would get me in trouble. That is not an easy road. To have discernment is not an easy road, right? And so a lot of that, and a lot of us, I have clients that did that same thing. They spoke out. You learn then to stop speaking out for a while. But I was still intrigued. So when you turn that learning out, people judging people for their family, for their gender, or just their journey, right? You learn to reflect. And so I got really curious. Science was always really easy. I loved science. And along the way, I had a really, really good science teacher that said, he was probably the first person that directly said, you're really intelligent. This is a natural gifting. Go with it. That was a pivotal point for me. And when I realized that that person made that big a difference in my life, I vowed that somehow I'm going to do that for other people. Didn't know how, but I thought if that person can change a person's life in that short semester, I wanted to learn more about that. So, you know, as I get older, my big thing was exploring, going to different countries, started leadership, you know, science and leading science teachers, leading science. But then I got into the field of psychology and did a graduate degree in there. It didn't open as many doors as I thought. So I'm like, well, maybe MBA will. That one kind of opened some doors, but it was really studying coaching and a PhD in leadership that set. I really got this whole longitude of people are so gifted. People have so many talents and we have to uncover them. And we can't uncover them through advice. We can't tell them you are great and champion them, because if they don't believe it, it's just going to bounce off. So through that whole journey, I have been fascinated with the human spirit and fascinated with, you know, their journey of empowering themselves and other people and seeing the ripple effect. In 2006, when I really started doing that outside my leadership, inside my leadership, I would test how good a leader I am. You know, 360s is what we use. What else can I do to empower? But it was the passion underneath that kept saying, try to be a better person. Even though sometimes I thought, you know what, I'm good enough. It was try to be a better person because it's going to have a better effect on people. And so some people have these like journeys that are like a really big roller coaster. And they got into something and come out of it and got. And I told one of my friends, I had more of kind of like a little roller coaster, but get down into a slight. I really don't know what my purpose in life is. In my 20s, I'm like, I don't know what my purpose in life is. I'm kind of floundering. And then literally I would have some kind of insight around that or look for some insight around it. And then I kind of pop back up. So my journey has been more like that versus hitting a wall so hard that I have to bounce off. But there's always a mountain to kind of look over and to decide when is it time now to evolve. So
I heard you say some things that are really important. Started when you were young, yeah. You learned to hear intuition, the voice of the spirit, mm-hmm. whatever anybody wants to call it, warning you about a fire. Then I heard you had a pivotal person that opened a door.
Yes.
A science teacher who lovingly recognized your intelligence. And then I heard you remain curious. And so I'm repeating these because I want people to reflect in their own lives yeah. right now about who has encouraged you. Where have you mm-hmm. been curious and not said, what's next? So you said, well, I was curious about those things. And you said you first pursued science, and mm-hmm. and then you led some science teachers, and then you were looking for a way to responding, presumably, to just those feelings in you that says there's more here.
Yes.
Not I'm not okay, because that's a game of constantly, if you live in the game of I'll be okay when I get there, whatever yeah. there is, then that means you always have to make where you are wrong. Well, I'm not quite there yet, so I must suck now. And when I get over there, I'll be good. And let's say yeah. you get over there, then you have to make that new thing suck, because yeah. now you're trying to get a new thing.
Yeah.
So instead of living constantly in the land of suck, you can say, I'm okay
yeah.
where I am. Right. And I remain perpetually curious, because I was gifted to discern opportunities mm-hmm. and to share this. And so you went on and pursued further studies, and the number of degrees, I've never heard you talk about that in any way that was weird. It was just a vehicle for yeah. you to pursue things, you know, MBA and whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you pursued the curiosity in yeah. you led you to expand and combine all these kinds of things to be more effective as a leader, more effective as a coach. So when did you decide, I am going to be in the people encouragement business? That's what I call coaching. When did you say, yeah. you know what,
oh.
my life, I'm going to be in the people encouragement business?
Yeah. Well, it was after getting some good back that it was so direct that I thought, well, there's another way. Clarity, assertiveness was good. So I think in really at the end of, let's say the end of the 90s, early 2000, I said there, that's where I started noticing people perform and people not perform in the adult world. I'm like, how did that person feel so grateful? How did that person achieve that? What was in it? What was it, something special? And so I was decoding that in the whole piece about the inner flow, right? Siegelman talked about the inner flow. I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody has this inner flow. That's really cool. And I committed to really doing that more for my leadership, not necessarily to be a coach. In fact, I didn't want to be a coach. People kept saying, you could be a great coach. And I adamantly said, no, I'm not going to be in that frou-frou world. I want some concrete things that empower people. So I did it for part of my dissertation, actually, to prove that it didn't work, which is awesome because it did. I got to research so many coaches. And by 2005, I committed to learning this coaching field, mainly for those people I led. I felt that's a responsibility of any leader. And that's still my preface today is, if you're going to lead people, not manage, there's so many managers out there, but if you're really going to lead, you're responsible for evolving yourself and investigating yourself so you can lead with a generous authority, as I call it, and that you can evolve so they have an opportunity to evolve. If that teacher long ago in 10th grade did not step out and see past my other mechanisms and said, you're very good at science. I thought everybody was good at science. If I was good at it, I figured everybody probably was very naturally inclined to it. That person stepped outside, and that's what leaders do. So in 2005, that's when I really said, I'm going to commit to this journey of helping people that I led find their purpose, their passion, and feel good about being belonging in whatever we were doing. I think it was 2013 that I actually said, I'm going to commit fully to coaching.
Okay. So 2005, you said, I'm going to learn about it.
Yeah.
You did that for a while, and consistent mm-hmm. with who you are. You know, I investigate, I play around, I dig into yeah. it. I see, I yeah. test. And then in 2013, so even that, you now 10 years ago, you said, I'm going to be in this business that I thought was frou-frou. I'm going to be in the people encouragement business.
Yeah. Like so now full that you, time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, full on. I'm going to do it. I'm going to own it. I'm going to say it. Yeah. I'm a coach. Yeah. Ooh, that weird thing is, you know. So now that you've had 10 whole years, you're celebrating your first end of your first decade in this people encouragement business, which, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. How does that feel to look back and say, for 10 years, I have owned myself, my passion, my gifts, and I am squarely in the people encouragement business. I love taking people and letting them see their gifts and uncovering all the layers of whatever we talked about earlier. How does that feel to be a decade in right now?
It feels truth. I mean, it feels authentic. It feels fun. And it's own adventure because I get to meet so many different people. But it's like a culmination of all my strengths. Like, really, this is my thought. A really good coach gets in people's faces and tells them, you have this coping mechanism. So now let's pull this aside and stop. Right. I'm not that kind of coach. It's just sitting back. So it seems to work, especially with leaders. It's been authentically, there requires no energy to have energy to be with people and uncover what's getting in the way. It's all just inspiring energy that just flows through that. It's a really cool, solid space.
So we talked earlier about living a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, and by using with your divine gifts or serving with your divine gifts. And you just said, this is leveraging and combining all my strengths. So this is the confluence, if we drew an ikigai diagram, where all those things come together for you. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I have a question. As the world does its seemingly strange dance, and we have more isolation, we've had this period of COVID, which has done whatever it's done to different people. And we have war in Europe, and we have inflation, and we have all these kinds of things. And we also have further and further isolation as family structures and mobility increase and family structures, you know, decrease and all that sort of thing. How important, you talked about doors opening and voices and moments of encouragement, acknowledgement, and opportunity. How important in the next 10 years do you see this role of people encouragement?
Well, I think it will be the pivotal point. It is, I think, because of all these external things occurring, this happened in history prior to, it's pivotal that we turn it around and inspire to use compassion instead of complaints, cohesion or collaboration instead of competition. Because through that, when people live in their purpose and their prosperity, it is all about them staying in their alignment to their true selves. And they can give more. You've seen that where you see your clients start to develop and they're so excited about life. They reach out to more people. It will be the difference of how people transition through this. That's connection.
It's a pretty bold statement. It will be pivotal. I happen to agree with you. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because in the work world, you know, I lived in the years, decades even, where everything was home, stayed home, and work is separate, and you're supposed to do this, and that's all outside, leave it home, and everything else. And the truth, even though we ignored it for decades, is that there's only one person, and that you can't really separate this from that. And the way you do one thing is, in fact, the way you do everything. And all of that used to be frou-frou stuff is now actually not only not frou-frou, but it has migrated from the fringe to the core.
Yeah, well said. It has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's migrated from the weird stuff around the edge to the absolute core engine.
Yes.
Of everything.
It is.
So I want to, you talked to me earlier, another time we chatted about people still making the transition.
Yeah.
Who are uncomfortable using emotional words, emotional intelligence, allowing the things that are truly the core, because love is the power of cohesion, and competition and negativity is the power of dissipation. And you see that, and I see it, and it's true. How do you help people who are having trouble, who still think that this weird crap is going to be a fad and disappear somehow, and we'll get back to whatever it was that they imagined was something? What do you do with either members of a team or leaders that themselves are not on this journey of discovery about the essential nature of this awareness of the human condition and allowing it to be the center? How do you help them?
Well, that's where the patience and persistence comes in, right? So prove that it doesn't work then. Try it and explore it, not just repel it. Explore it for 6 months and just notice the less stress in your environment. Just notice the new way you talk to people. Notice, like, even we start with acknowledgments. You know, acknowledge one of your team members that you would have not said anything to them. Acknowledge when they do something well. Acknowledge when they're on the way to do something well. And it doesn't take long where they start realizing to empower people is power for my business. And to empower people and to live in that more generous place is anywhere can result in so many different things for their company, but it's where that they need to lean into, or they're going to fall behind, or they're going to lose people, or they're not going to get the productivity. Now, so sometimes it starts with an external goal, and then it becomes an internal one when they just start noticing the difference in their team members.
Well, I like the word notice, and we do so little of that until we train ourselves to do it. We bounce around in things, but we don't notice very much. So I know that as a result of your work, your authentic heart, and the love that you bring to yourself and to others, that you've created a lot of stuff. So tell us about your business. Like, I know that you, well, just tell me, what's Blue Egg and the Valley something or other? Who are you and what do you do? I said it all wrong on purpose. So just fix
that's
me.
Good. So yeah, I run with my partner, Blue Egg Leadership. And we have for a while, since 2013. Like before that, I did part-time coaching and I was a professor of leadership. And the same time when I committed to do full time, like just leave, retire from university settings, I worked with a wonderful, very progressive group of people, and they formed a nonprofit called Sinovation Valley Leadership. And you've got the opportunity to meet some of those wonderful people. And so we're on our 10th year anniversary. It's the longest only community coaching program in the nation. It's won a lot of awards. It's been on Nebraska Public TV. It's run by a group of nonprofit board members that are now on their own entrepreneurs, powerful entrepreneurs. They keep reaching out farther and farther. We have people that drive 5-6 hours to come to the sessions. But we have fun talking about evolving the purpose, talking about abundance mindset. How can we lead with ego-free leadership? How do we transform our businesses to grow and create open space grow goals that will have a ripple effect? So all of them have become kind of their own journey, people to say, think of how they can have a ripple effect. And so we have four programs in there. I bring my EQ Edge program. That's a program I use for all entrepreneurs wherever I go. I also have NeuroEdge NLP. So I'm a master trainer in NLP for coaches. And that that is a really cool process for coaches to be able to get through all the muck and just use neural language and NLP conditioning there to transform their clients. And so we also bring coaching dimensions down there, which is an introduction for leaders to learn coaching techniques, not to coach necessarily, but to start leading with what questions, powerful questions, level three listening. It's so fun to watch that evolve. So those are my programs that I use everywhere I go, but I also bring down there. And then, of course, they have their own. We have Transforming Possibilities, which is an entry-level program. And then we do communication. We do 2 years of communication. So I like to, my personal fascination is getting in with a group of people and coaching them. And so I have those programs that I use. And then I also have entrepreneurs that I will work with and work with their team as a leadership coach. So I like the variety and also like the ripple effect of when you work with a group of people, how their wisdom rises in that group. It's so fun to watch, to be able to see when one uncovers something, they encourage the other person. So that is beyond excitement for me. So that's kind of like a snapshot of the coaching pieces that I do.
So blueeggleadership.com, is that a website that's yours?
Yep, that's my
website. The other thing is Sino, S-Y-N-O, Sino Valley, what?
Sinovation Valley. So it's S-V-L-A. It's also sinovationvalleyleadership.com. But if they Google S-V-L-A, it should pop up too.
S-V-L-A.
Yep. Well, and that's open to everyone.
Yeah, you described that really fast. And I'm sure that people listening to it wouldn't have heard or caught all that. But I actually want people to be able to follow up with what you do, because I've had the blessing and opportunity to speak with you a number of times. Now, as we get sort of toward the end here, I want to ask you, we live in a troubling, sort of disconcerting world if you're not connected. Mm-hmm. If you don't make the effort to prepare yourself every day for who you want to be, and if you don't have a firm idea of who you want to be, you just show up and you have essentially situational behavior, situational ethics in your whole life, and it governs everything. If you have someone listening here who hears this and say, yeah, that all sounds good, but I don't know what to do first, they are at risk of just sliding back into nothing. Mm. What would you give me or give them right here so that they don't hear this? Be inspired for a moment, like someone who reads a book, goes to a conference or whatever, and thumps on the table and says, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and then doesn't. What's the thing you would hand them here to stay lit for them next?
What I have found is if they hear the message now, the message is meant for them to literally open the doors and uncover it. So it can mean more than one thing, but try several things. Look for a coach, right? You have Kellen, you have awesome, awesome lineage as a coach. There's so many coaches out there. Start with some books, really start with Singer's books, DeMello's book. Just start with a book about whatever you're attracted to. You can start a lot of the journey there. And the third thing is, don't settle. Be persistent and reach out some way, form, some shape with something that interests you, because that's usually kind of the tag to say, okay, this is the next thing for you. But if you are inspired, and because you're inspired because of Kellen's show, it does say that this is all for you. And this is the time to uncover it. And we're here to help you to uncover it. You can look at SinnovationValleyLeadership.org. That's a community program. That's a nonprofit program. You could Google coaches. There's so many opportunities. But know that you want to take action by exploring one of those three, a mentor, a coach, or start reading something that you have kind of set aside that you've been kind of drawn to.
Thank you. So, listeners, I want to just review a couple of those things as we close here, and that's this. If you feel ding and something goes off, pay attention.
Yeah.
That's number one. Pay attention. Don't let it settle back down into the sea of mud or the mud of mediocrity or the sea of sameness or whatever it is. And she gave you several ideas. Find some books. There's an infinite number. Michael Singer wrote some good books. And, the Alchemist. And there's all kinds of books that tell stories. And the stories are pieces of this journey. Mm-hmm. And then get the help. That's, get some help. It might be a coach. It might be a group. It might be a lot of things. But don't turn it off.
Right.
Find a book or books. Find a coach and honor yourself. This noise that you're hearing that says, there is more possible. There is more here for me. And I'm feeling these things like Dr. D heard the house is on fire in a voice that was not in the house. Well, this may be the voice to you.
Mm-hmm.
Live into your life. Own it for all that's worth. And I want to tell you, if you listen and if you act, you will be on the way and able to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.